All right, so today we're diving deep into ancient Israel.
Ooh, sounds interesting.
It is, trust me. We're going to be exploring, you know, how land was allocated after the conquest of Canaan.
Right.
We've got some great material to work with. We're looking at Dr. David Howard's expert commentary on the book of Joshua, chapters 20 and 21 specifically.
Okay, so like the nitty-gritty.
Exactly, we're getting into the details.
Love it.
By the end of this, you'll have a much deeper understanding of some really unique cities, their purpose, and what it all meant for the Israelites back then.
All right, I'm ready. Let's go.
Okay, so one of the most interesting things about this period is the role of the Levites. They were kind of a tribe apart.
Okay.
Set aside for a special purpose.
Right, right. Set apart, yeah.
So no land for them. What did they get instead?
Yeah, so unlike the other 12 tribes, the Levites didn't get a tribal land inheritance. Their inheritance was their service to God. Dr. Howard actually mentions three perspectives on this offerings, priesthood and God himself.
So like their work was their reward. I wonder how the Levites felt about that being set apart like that. Was it a blessing or kind of a burden?
That's a fascinating question. On one hand, they held a unique position, you know, close to God at the center of everything spiritual.
Right.
But on the other hand, it came with a lot of responsibility, a whole life dedicated to service.
Yeah.
I mean, just imagine that, the pressure of being chosen.
I can see how it could feel like a heavy weight, for sure.
Absolutely.
Okay, so shifting gears a bit, let's talk about these cities of refuge mentioned in Joshua.
Okay.
I mean, they sound almost mythical. What was their purpose?
The concept actually comes from Exodus originally. These cities were safe havens, basically, for people who accidentally killed someone.
So, like, to protect them. From what?
From the Avenger of Blood.
Avenger of Blood, so, like, vigilante justice. Were these cities, like, a legal safeguard against that?
Exactly. But it wasn't a free pass, though. The person seeking refuge had to prove that the killing was unintentional and then stand trial. And if they were found guilty of manslaughter specifically, they'd have to stay in the city until the death of the high priest.
It sounds like a pretty intense system.
It was structured, that's for sure, with accountability and mercy built in.
Now, it's worth noting that we don't actually have many biblical examples of this system being used.
That's interesting.
It makes you wonder, was it just a theory? Or did stuff like that just not get recorded?
Yeah, why even establish the system if it was rarely used?
Right, exactly. Like, what message did that send to the Israelites, knowing this was there, even if they never saw it in action?
It definitely makes you think about their values and beliefs, even without concrete examples, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, something I found really interesting that Dr. Howard talks about is forgiveness for sins in the Old Testament.
Right.
Seems like there was a distinction, right? Like, defiant, unrepentant sin was one thing.
Totally.
But if there was confession and restitution, then that could pave the way for atonement, even for deliberate acts.
Yes. That's a really critical point. The idea that even intentional sins could be atoned for speaks to a concept of grace that we usually associate with the New Testament.
It definitely challenges some assumptions about how those concepts evolved over time.
It adds a whole layer of complexity to how we understand the Old Testament, for sure.
For sure. Okay, so zooming out a bit, we got to talk about all the Levitical cities, not just the cities of refuge.
Right.
There were 48 in total, and they were all over the place, right? Strategically placed throughout the land.
The idea was to have a Levitical presence in every tribe's territory. So you've got these 48 cities, six of which were also cities of refuge, and they acted as the centers for spiritual leadership.
I see.
Dr. Howard points out how orderly the whole process of allocating these cities was. The Israelites used casting lots to figure out where each city would be.
Casting lots. Sounds like they were leaving things up to chance.
Well, for the Israelites, casting lots wasn't just about chance.
Okay.
They believed it was how they could understand God's will. God was guiding the outcome.
So it was more like a spiritual practice.
Exactly. Like a form of prayer.
It makes you wonder, how could that perspective influence our own decision-making today?
It definitely challenges us to think about faith and guidance in a different way, that's for sure.
The way these Levitical cities were spread out kind of reminds me of missionaries today living among the people they serve.
That's a great comparison. The Levites were supposed to be like salt and light.
Right.
Living their lives intertwined with the other tribes.
So it wasn't just about physical space, but also this spiritual presence woven into the fabric of society.
And to wrap up this section, Dr. Howard points out the last verses of Joshua 21, which emphasize that God fulfilled all his promises.
Okay.
It says that not one of God's words fell to the ground.
Wow, that's powerful imagery. It suggests that God's words have real weight, a tangible impact. They weren't just empty promises, but something real.
Right. And that imagery pops up in other parts of the Old Testament, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like in 1 Samuel 3.19-20, where it talks about Samuel's prophetic words. They weren't just talk. They shaped reality.
So we're seeing this theme of God's faithfulness woven throughout the narrative, playing out in concrete ways.
Exactly. And it's a theme that's still relevant today, reminding us that God's word is alive, capable of shaping our lives and our world. It's powerful, even when things feel uncertain.
It's like a reminder that even in the midst of chaos and uncertainty, God's promises remain. This idea of divine faithfulness is something we're going to keep unpacking as we continue this deep dive into ancient Israel.
Looking forward to it.
Stay tuned for part two, where we'll go even deeper into some of these concepts and see what they might mean for us today. So welcome back to our deep dive into ancient Israel.
Yeah, it's good to be back.
Before the break, we were talking about how, God's faithfulness played out
right
through the land allocation and the role of the Levites.
And those cities of refuge.
Oh, yeah. Those were fascinating.
More than just safe havens. They really were.
Yeah. We talked about how someone seeking refuge had to stay there till the high priest died.
Right.
What's the significance of that? It seems like such a long time.
Well, practically speaking, it meant a good chunk of time for the person to, think about what happened, face the consequences.
Okay. Yeah. Makes sense.
But there are also these symbolic implications, too.
Symbolic. Okay, now I'm really interested. Tell me more.
Well, some scholars see it as like a foreshadowing of Christ's sacrifice.
Mm.
You know, like his death. He's our ultimate high priest, right?
Yeah.
And that provides true refuge, atonement for our sins.
I never thought about it that way before.
It's a really cool connection, bridging the Old and New Testaments.
Yeah, it adds a whole other dimension to those cities of refuge.
Definitely.
It's amazing how these old practices still speak to us,
It really is.
Makes you wonder how much of what we see in the Old Testament was pointing to something bigger, something to come later.
It's a good question.
Now, Dr. Howard really emphasizes the fulfillment of God's promises in his lecture.
Yeah, he goes.
Why do you think that's such a big theme in Joshua?
Well, think about it. The Israelites finally get the land. God keeps his promises.
Yeah.
It wasn't just a historical event. It was proof, that God was committed to his people.
Right.
Their inheritance wasn't just about the land itself. It was about experiencing God's faithfulness firsthand. It shaped everything for them.
That makes me think about the promises God makes to us today,
Mm-hmm.
Do we really believe them, see them as real and tangible, or just like ideas?
Right, right.
Or are we actively living like those promises are true?
Those are good questions.
Okay, going back to the cities of refuge for a sec.
Sure.
I'm still stuck on that Avenger of Blood thing. It's such a foreign idea now.
I know, right? Seems pretty brutal to us.
It does, but it raises interesting questions about justice, Like,
right.
How do we balance the desire for revenge with the need for mercy?
Yeah, tough questions.
With cities of refuge, they offered some kind of framework for that, didn't they?
I think so. They provided a path toward, reconciliation and restoration, even when terrible things had happened.
It makes me think about how we approach these things today, like restorative justice, Focusing on repairing harm, rebuilding relationships.
That's a great example. There are definite connections there.
It's like these aren't just stories from the past. They're full of wisdom that we can still use.
Yeah, definitely.
So what does all this mean for us today? We've explored all these fascinating concepts, but how do they apply to our own lives?
Well, for me, a big takeaway is that God's faithfulness is a constant. It was true back then. It's true now. Even when things are tough, we can trust that God's working things out.
It's comforting to remember that we're not alone in all of this.
And the Levite story teaches us that our inheritance might not be what we expect.
Right. Like, sometimes it's not about material stuff. It's about our relationship with God and what he's calling us to do.
And those unexpected things, that's where we might find our real purpose.
I like that.
So we've looked at the Levites, the cities of refuge, God's faithfulness.
A lot to unpack.
What stood out to you the most?
Honestly, I'm just struck by how these ancient practices are still relevant to issues we face today.
Totally.
We're still figuring out justice and mercy, accountability and forgiveness.
Right. It's like these are human struggles that never really go away.
Yeah. Even though these stories are thousands of years old, they still speak to something deep inside us.
And that reminder that God's word has power. It doesn't just disappear. It grows and changes things. That's really inspiring.
Absolutely.
It challenges us to take God's promises seriously and live a life that reflects that belief.
Beautifully said. Okay, we've covered a lot, but there's always more to learn from these ancient texts.
always.
As we wrap up this part of our deep dive, I want to leave you with this thought. Imagine you had to design a justice system for today that balanced accountability with mercy.
Ooh, that's a good one.
How would you make sure it's fair, but also gives people second chances?
That's a tough one. But maybe thinking about these ancient practices can give us some new ideas.
Definitely worth thinking about.
Yeah, it can help us be more critical about how we approach justice and reconciliation in our own time.
And maybe even inspire us to be more forgiving in our own lives, too.
Couldn't
agree more.
Stay tuned for part three, where we'll keep exploring these thought-provoking themes. So we were talking about how the Israelites, you know, they really tried to blend accountability and mercy.
It's fascinating how they did that.
It is. It makes you think. Like,
yeah,
we don't always have to reinvent the wheel, right? We can look to the past for ideas.
Totally. Take those old ideas, see if they work for today's problem.
Exactly. Adapt them.
Adapt and overcome, right?
So maybe, you know, as we go through our day,
yeah,
it's worth remembering those cities of refuge.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't just places. They were this whole concept of, like, justice, but with compassion.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's just as important now as it was back then.
Totally. Like, even when things go wrong, people make mistakes.
Yeah.
There's still a chance for redemption.
Second chances.
Well, this has been a pretty deep dive into ancient Israel.
Yes.
We've learned about the Levites, the cities of refuge.
All those promises God made.
Yeah, and how he kept them.
It's a powerful story.
I hope you've learned something new and maybe even, you know, have some new questions to think about.
Always more to learn.
Keep digging into the Old Testament. There's so much there.
Absolutely.
Till next time, keep exploring, keep questioning,
and keep diving deep.
We'll see you then.